Matthew's Gospel 20. It's a short one this morning, and then we pray and we prepare for workers' meeting, workers' convention this weekend. And I trust God to speak to us and to refresh us. Amen.
Amen.
You can always tag workers' convention as a refreshers course, where we come to get refreshed and get revived. Amen. Matthew Gospel 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. So this is a pre-workers meeting teacher. And it's something that should resonate with you all life long. The kingdom of God is like unto a man who is an householder. And he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever it is right, I will give you. And they went their way, and he went about to the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. Can we verse 6 together at 7? Once again. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They said unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, you shall receive. Amen. So, there are many parables like this of Jesus likening the kingdom of God to something. You know, the fields, the treasures, right? A sower that went to the fields. You know, he likened the kingdom of God to many things. But this stands out a bit. Because he says, the kingdom of God is like unto a man that went out to hire laborers. There's a prayer I want us to pray. But look at, and you will see it in the verse 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers and give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Verse 10 says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, because they worked more, yeah? And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, and said, these last ones have worked for 1 hour, but you have made them equal unto us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he said unto them, I did not do any wrong for you. Did we not agree for a penny? Go your way. I will give unto this last as I shall give unto you. So shall the last, verse 16. So the last shall be the first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. I want us to pray, especially those of you who have been in the service of God for a while, that this word will not come to pass in your life. The last shall be the first, the first shall be last. And this is not the first time Jesus said it. He said it just before this chapter, in chapter 19, verse 30. But many that are first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. There's something about starting first that sometimes gives an entitlement. There's something about being in leadership or having served God for a long time that might give this feeling of, ooh, may you not at the last minute, Momo. Pray for yourself. No, have your seat. Have your seat and pray for yourself. The first shall be the last. The last shall be the first. What a statement. I won't waste my years. Amen. So I just decided for us to pray that. That's not the focus of the teaching. So let's go. So we get the story. The master went out and he called people, come work in my vineyard. He said, this is the kingdom of God. So if Jesus is saying this is the kingdom of God, you can bet he knows what he's saying. He says, the kingdom of God is, he calls the laborers and say, go and work. So the kingdom of God is basically master and laborer. That must be a critical part of our understanding of God's kingdom. That no one is called to the kingdom of God to be an onlooker. No one is called to God's kingdom to be an admirer. You know, there are folks who just admire. I recall some years ago I was teaching. I went to teach. I was privileged to go teach somewhere. I can't mention the name of the church. So, and one of the long serving, is the elders or deacon now? I don't know which position he was holding. And he called me and said, I like what you're doing. No? And immediately I responded and said, sir, you can do the same. That would be my typical response any day, anytime. You know, he said, I like what you're doing, preaching the gospel. And I said, sir, we are all called to do it. He said, no. I just admire it. I just like it. Maybe for my children. There's just something about you thinking you're too old. But he said, the master kept calling. At the 6th hour, at the 10th hour, 11th hour. Doesn't matter what hour of your life you are, he calls you. There are folks who just like it. They like the perception of the church. They are good admirers. But no one is called to come and admire. The kingdom of God is simple. It's the master and the laborers. There's no one called to come and be only a consumer of God's grace. No. It's the master and the laborer. You can't just be a fan of the church. You can't just like the idea of church. And that's what the devil will have us think like in this day and age. You know, just like the idea of going somewhere on a Sunday morning and singing and, you know, you wear nice clothes. Right, I can see a lot of you. Very nice attire. Very nice, yeah? You know, you wear nice fittings. If you're a lady, you know, you dress up pingy. And you go to church. Oh, that's nice. Amen. I tell you, dress nice. Be fine. Amen. Amen. Well, on campus, they used to think, I graduated yesterday. I did my, what did they do when you, convocation? Yesterday. Some of you were there. You know, but on campus then, you know, people used to feel like I was so spiritoco that I don't like people dressing well. And they don't like me because I don't have money. So they felt I don't dress shabbily. With my dress, I have to put my headset. Because you have to be listening to teachings. Amen. So I have to put my headset and all of that. But I didn't have the money to buy the nice wares and all that. So I remember there was a sister that came to me and said, I just want to be like you. I want to be wearing expensive clothes. I said, no, I don't have the money. I said, dress well. You've got the money. You're a Nepo baby. You know, that was really nice. Nepo and Lapo. Some of you are Nepo. Me, I don't even know where I'm Lapo. Because the explanation of that Lapo, it'd be like, I never meet up to Lapo. Just Po. You know? And they say some are Napo. They are not Nepo. They are not Lapo. If you need the explanation to this, I don't have it. Miss Broshola. Amen. She was a Nepo baby. Nepo is nepotism from Nepo, rich kid. Me, I'm not a rich kid. I was not even born with any spoon. Silver or wooden or no spoon. They said there was no spoon. Plastic, nothing. So I said, it's because I don't have the money. So there's nothing wrong with dressing very nice. But that's some people's idea of church. Somewhere where I can show forth my new fittings. So you do G-R-W-M, Abi? Yeah. In my head, I was trying to present. Get ready with me. So you get ready with me as I go to church. Pam, pam. With transitions. This was the word of transition. As though people would transition to hellfire. You know, get ready. And that's the idea of church. But Jesus is telling you, when I see the kingdom, it's the master and the laborer. Paul will call us fellow laborers with God. So we are stewards and fellow laborers with God. So Jesus' idea is plain to you. You must make his worldview your worldview. His worldview about his kingdom is master and laborer. No one is called to be an admirer. No one is called to be an onlooker. God's purpose is for you to establish yourself a laborer in his kingdom. Is this the only place he taught it? No. If you look at Luke chapter 1, Luke 1, you learn something? Verse 71. I'm talking about 17. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Come with us 74 and 75 together. That he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. Amen. We serve him without fear. Amen. So this is God's purpose. See, life throws many things at us. When you start getting to the middle age of your life, and I'm talking about 35 to 50-ish, you discover that the purpose starts changing from when you were in your 20s. You can already see that the purpose has changed from when you were 10 or when you were in teen church. You know, there was a time in your life that it was about getting admission to the university. You know, it was the order of the day. But that's where you rank success in life. You know, and then some people go to school and then come back and then they come and give report. And you just say, on campus I used to, and then you're at home. You clap. And people felt, oh, that means you are getting successful. I recall there was a time I cried. You know, the first year I did jam, and I had 258. And UI gave me zoology. How do you apply for medicine and surgery? And they give you they gave it like this. They take it. So my mom said, people who study zoology, where did they work? And that's it. And I would say, God forbid. So we started to think, okay, what about if I now do veterinary medicine? So you can work in the zoo, but as a doctor. I would say, no. You must do what you want to do. And so I had to forfeit it. And it began to look, oh, because that was the idea. That as you begin to get to your 20s, in fact, you start asking yourself, why did I even get admission? At the time in school, I think we had general surgery exam. I finished the paper and I was blaming myself that why did I come here? You remember the exam? I think the highest was 61 or something. 65. Ike? It was you, okay. I knew it was you, Ike. I knew you were. You know? You're looking at that. It's not the leader. I had 52. And Jesus was glorified. That was all. But I was not even going to say that. When I was done with the exam, I said, why did I not go and study music? You know, because that was the idea of. You know, your priorities begin to change. You say, you know, when you just do music 4 years, after that, you're going to do graduate training. I start working in the bank. You know? And then when you're done with school, you start saying, oh, more school, nah, scam. That's wrong, though. It's not. Amen. Some of you are supporting some parties that are, you know, those screws and scam. All right. And then the next thing, life has a program for you. And the next thing is, when are you getting a job? When are you settling down? What do you mean by saying, am I up since? Where have I been? So when you're settling down, what do you mean is, when are you bringing a man home? Why, you said I should not have a boyfriend. So when it's time for a child to have, oh, you have, oh, when it's time for a child to have cutlass. Are we in the farm? So when you settle down again, next thing is, when are you giving birth? I didn't know that this thing had stages. Okay, now you're giving birth to a boy. You say, you must complete it. You must balance it. When I give birth to a girl, now you give birth to a girl. You say, you can't just have one boy, one girl. Nobody does that. Have you not checked around? There's a constitution. 3 minimum. I say, okay. I say, now, there's something I want to tell you. You cannot stay in the house of rent forever. Life has a plan for you. But see what Jesus is saying. Go back to Matthew 10. That's where we are. Matthew 20, rather. Life has a plan. So you must find purpose in God's plan. But look at what Jesus said. In verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and I'll give whatever is right to you, I'll give it to you. And they went their way. And about verse 5, the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same thing. Can we verse 6 together? And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand you? That's the title of the teaching. Why stand you here idle? But he found them in the marketplace. It shows you that the idea of laboring with God is not in the marketplace. It's in his vineyard. Those who are not in his vineyard, he saw them as idle. As far as heaven is concerned, he said, why are you idle? Oh, but I'm doing Christians in tech. Before I say anything, let me make a disclaimer. I have said it on this podium before, on this very podium, that a believer has got to be ambitious. There is nothing in God's word that takes away being ambitious from you. Take that master's degree. Go for your PhD. Start businesses. Be top in your career. Amen. Amen. I see the best nurses here, the best doctors, the best diagnosis, the best dentists. Amen. You don't want me. That amen is Luna. I just want money. Yeah. The richest. Only. You see, that's the issue with Africa. You richest. Well, I'm saying the things that will give you money now. Amen. But richest, amen. Where is the money going to come from? Miracle money. Amen. So, we said, I'm not taking away being ambitious. But Jesus says, regardless of whatever you do in the marketplace, if you're not in the vineyard, you are idle. What a perspective. Oh, but I'm raising billionaires for the kingdom. I do not pro max. You have to. It's funny that it's the opposite way the world thinks it. The world thinks if you are a church guy, then it's because you don't have much on your hands. I remember going for a business meeting one time on the island, and we were talking about a lot of things. So I, myself and the partner I went with, we were discussing, and so I was introducing us to him. And so he has mentioned that, and he's a pastor. So I look at him. Sometimes you don't want that to spoil business. Amen. Yeah, sometimes some people have their own perspective. So, but immediately he said he's a pastor. The guy looked at me and said, so how do you have time? How do you have time for this? I said, what do you mean? So I wanted to, so as we were talking over a meal, I wanted to get his idea. Why would you? So he said, he feels it's people who don't have jobs and who don't have a career to build that go pastoring. I said, how mistaken are you? I said, no. I said, a lot of pastors have their businesses. In fact, I know pastors who, I know a pastor who is a soldier. He's in the Navy.
and a person who is a pilot. I know. I didn't say I've met. We've spoken. I've met tens of pastors who are surgeons. How do you say it's people who don't have their jobs or who don't have something to build? Then so they just say, okay, what can I do with my life? Glorious House Church. Nah. The world sees it as, oh, if you preach the gospel and you disciple and you pray, and maybe you don't, maybe you have too much time on your hands. You know what I'm saying? The one in the market is the idle one. They've been standing in the market and said, why are you standing here all day? I do. Because God's idea of business, of being busy, is to co-labor with him in his vineyard. Nothing in the world lasts. Absolutely nothing. Elijah, there was a story that was going around. I saw it on Twitter. A man who passed on, you know, so someone had mentioned out that the man had saved almost all of his life to build a complex. I don't know if I've shared the story before. To build a complex, a very nice plaza, you know, forgotten how many letting spaces he had, but that very massive one. He had saved. In fact, he managed to eat bread and Pepsi. He would sit down opposite, you know this Yoruba man, the way they sit down. So you sit down opposite where they are building it just to be supervising. And he did that for about a year because he had saved for it. And a week after the place was open, he died. What a ruined way to look at it. And then the son sold it a month after. They buried him at the back of the plaza, close to a gutter. You know the way they do bury now? They bury it so that in case they want to sell the land, that place, they can just say, it doesn't matter, just cut it out. That's the way it was buried. And I saw the story, and I began to look. You don't build for the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying what he did was wrong. Or, no. It's a good investment. But if that's all you have, that's idleness. If all you can say and point to are the things you don't need the Holy Ghost to do, Jesus says, get busy. God's idea of his kingdom is him being the master and we collaborating with him. So get the degrees, build businesses, raise a lovely family. Amen? Enjoy your life. But don't be useless to God. Don't be useless to God. The world has its own agenda. Follow God's plan. Say, but pastor, what I'm going to do is that once, you know, I'm at my prime now. I'm at the peak. So when I retire, you understand? When I retire, I will now, in fact, this church thing, I will take it. It's like one man that said, he said, you know, I'm suffering now. I'm eating pomo, 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 pomo. And by the way, those of you who say there is no nutrition in pomo, including my wife, say, why are you eating pomo, pomo, pomo? Well, there's no nutrition. I have gone to do research. There's collagen. Or beef. How can you say this kind of, you know, those soft ones? How can you say it does not have nutrition? Have you tasted it before? Even the oil is not fat, right? There's collagen, so that was good. You know, so the man said, I've been taking pomo, pomo, pomo. Once I retire like this, I'll just be eating. So he retired and then said, so you can't take too much of chicken because of your health. You can't take red meat. You can't take more than 2 eggs a day. So what is this now? I worked all my life so that I can take all these things now. So even this bed you are sleeping on is too soft. You know, he was seeing soft bed as a hard bed as poverty. Because he was sleeping on almost like a plank. Now they get orthopedic bed. So he put it down on the bed. It's too hard. He said, this was what I was running away from in poverty. It shows you there's no rest. There is not a time where you say, now, this time. You don't know tomorrow because you're not God. What is man? Here today, gone tomorrow. You have to make best use of life now. Today is the day to serve the Lord. Not tomorrow. when it's tomorrow, to be today again. Amen. When we get to tomorrow, we'll do it today. He went to the marketplace and he says, why are you hiding? God's idea of enterprise is without service in his kingdom is idleness. Why are you standing here idle? In that verse 5, look at verse 5 again. He says, he went out again about the sixth and the ninth hour. That means Jesus keeps going out to recruit. Some of you are in HR. He keeps going out to recruit. To rescue men from idleness. Regardless of the time he finds you. He finds some in their teenage years. For example, I count it as a privilege to have been preaching. I don't know what I was preaching, but I've been preaching since I was 10. At 13, 14, I was already actively preaching the gospel. Amen. Now I'm 16. In the next 3 weeks, I'll be 17. Some start early. Some at the later part of their lives. But if the call comes out to you today, go to his vineyard. Don't forget, I'm not saying, oh, now, just be staying in church, be sleeping in church. If I see you sleeping in church, you know my stance on these things. You know my stance on these things. I was still conversing with someone. I said, I don't believe a young pastor should stay in church and be counseling people. You go to work, then come back and come and counsel people. I don't. I'm not saying it's what the scripture teaches, but my ideology is not you sit down on a Monday morning and people are coming to you for counseling, or you're on a Monday morning we're having a prayer meeting. Maybe for pensioners. And a pensioner must lead it. Not me. How would I mind? I'll be leading prayer on Monday morning. Should you not be asking me, am I not going to work? How can a young man be leading prayer on a Monday morning? At 9 o'clock. Even if you are working from home, do the work. I said, no, you can see pastor at any time. He said, when do you want to come? Thursday morning. He's around. Just go to church. No, you can't see me. The only seat I've had to see, Lenny. Any seat we don't see today, or see on Wednesday, you come and see me in my office. Because I have to work. Will I not eat? Eh? I'll not eat. I will eat. And if you eat, you have to work. You can't beg. Else he starts twisting your sermons. I say, God said there are 3 people, $1,000 each. The next week, the 3 worked. There are 7 people, $500 each. Like that, the currency of heaven. I'm not saying that's how you should live your life. Oh, be in church every day, be doing ibele, be rolling on the altar. Say, hear my prayer, hear your prayer, hear. When he hears it, that we now know he has heard it. You are still rolling. You are rolling. You say, God should hear your prayer. Is this where the prayer will be at? Oh yeah, he has said it. Yeah, you are rolling. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, any enterprise, any business, any engagement that does not take the kingdom of God at heart is idleness. Jesus said, you have built a lot of nothing. May you not build a lot of nothing. What is this unprofitable idleness? He went to them. Why are you not in the vineyard? There's always an excuse. A monument of nothing. I saw that in the movie. A monument of nothing. Those who use it are not wise. What an explanation for excuse? Those who use excuses are not wise. Usually ministry. There's always one excuse or the other. They said, no man hired us. But you were there when he came on the third hour. You were there when he came in the sixth hour. He said, no man hired us. Some people's excuse is, not now. Pastor, I've heard, you know, this ministry team, I'm also interested. I've actually been admiring, you know, the way you teach, you know. But not now. In fact, when I'm ready, if I use it, you'll be surprised. Someone told me on campus, he said, immediately after school like this, my plan is even to go to seminary. He was always reading, it was in physiology. Was always reading. You already know the person I'm talking about. He's dark like this. I forgot his name. Because always read it. So one day, I've sent a lot of people to preach to him, and I was like, yeah. So I went to him myself. He said, I know you are going to come. I know you are going to come. Said, even to see you save his library. I had to come to the library. So will you be in fellowship today? Hey, will you, yeah. Will you be in fellowship? You be in fellowship, you not be in fellowship. Isha wants me to do this Jesus thing. It's like, you think you are paying me? So he said, right now is the time to study. I want to look myself. She be me and no study. Because I was studious. How do you know someone who's studious? He doesn't fail. What's the point of studying and you fail? So how do you know someone who's studious? He does not fail exam. There's someone that used to study. He used to read. I'm not mentioning. He used to read. He would jack everything. D. And it's not distinction. One day he came to me and said, he's from Ekiti. Abogun ni abase si. Abase si. I said, Goyemi, I don't understand. Makaweka. He changed from normal Yoruba to Ekiti. You know that frustration has hit deep. Yeah, makaweka. As I read, I actually read. In fact, I read daily. I don't wait till exams. I read every day. Maybe that's the trick. That works for me. I read. You don't go to night class. I don't. I use my night to pray and to sleep. So why you are looking for somewhere to pray? I know when I pray. I know when I read. But you will study. You not fail. I used to say, the proof of being studious is result now. Amen. So I went to him, I said, but I'm studying too. He said, I have a goal when I was entering to finish with the first class. He didn't eventually finish with the first class. The only person that finished with the first class was the vice president of the fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. My vice president, the one that was deputy to me, was the only one that in the entire department with the first class. And she was involved with the fellowship. She was the only one. So on the day of their convocation, I went to him. I will not miss you. I will not miss those kind of things. I went to him. I said, now that you are done. He was telling me, when we are done, we'll do seminary. Today is not. It's not. It's not serving Jesus. It's not doing anything. You don't give anything. Not now. And Jesus will be looking at him and say, what is this idleness? He's not saying don't read. He's not saying don't be studious. Don't finish with the first class. All of those things are good stuff. Very good stuff. It's always a thing of joy. If I see any 1 year, you finish with the first class, I will celebrate you. In fact, I told the university student, if you finish with the first class, Sister, how much did I promise you? 500,000 naira. Finish with it. Finish with it first. I'm serious. We establish. We do something because it takes something to. It takes witness. Amen. My own has gone. you know when it goes, you grow and it goes. 200 level, everybody's saying, 300 first semester, you already know. Maybe master's. This one. You know, that's why you calculate, even if I get distinction to the end. I've done it before. Even if I get distinction to the end. Bro, you know what I'm talking about. Where is it? As at 200 level, baby. Hallelujah! So I went to him, I said, you did not serve Jesus and you did not finish with the distinction. She served Jesus. He said, are you trying to mock me? And he was pained. But I just wanted him to see. You have been idle. A monument of nothing. May you not spend all your life building what God does not recognize. Amen. Jesus is knocking today. Don't give an excuse. I've had someone give an excuse of boyfriend. No, husband. Why were you not in church? So my boyfriend said, the road to church is not good. It was like film. How can you be this stupid? That is the description of that. That's stupidity. You've got no brain to think about yourself. My boyfriend said the road to church is not good. He does not want me to be, or we that we are here are cows. I said, it's not your husband. His husband will say, ah. They break up. No, honey, break up. Okay. Honey, break up. Okay. Break up. French breakfast. What will you now do? What will Jesus? Demons are laughing. The demons are laughing. Yes. What kind of excuse is that? And we are thinking, I have decided. No. You think it's a bad? No excuse suffices. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Hebrews 3. Don't harden your heart, like in the days of rebellion. May God's word get to you this morning. So Jesus is knocking today. He's saying, come and work. He's saying, let's build something together. Let's make your life a shining light. Let's make the earth and the people of the earth a part of God's kingdom. See, being churchy in a Gen Z term is not idleness. You must change that worldview. It's service. It's service. There are folks who are doing it. I told someone some years ago, I said, every excuse you have not to serve God, there are people on the earth who have the same excuse and are serving. There's a nurse somewhere. There's a surgeon somewhere. There's a doctor somewhere. There's a soldier somewhere serving the Lord Jesus. Who have the same excuse as you do? There's a nursing mother somewhere. There's an hustler somewhere. There's someone who's trying to make ends meet somewhere. Who don't treat Jesus as a second option. So what do we say when we stand to be judged? What excuse will suffice, really? Oh, Jesus, I was busy. Then you are busier than he wants you to be. Why are you standing idle? There's no rest in the marketplace. Every market closes. Abi, am I wrong? I know there was a time market used to be open, especially in Onitsha. So they discovered that those who stayed back to sleep in court were chiefs. They were looting other people's shops and all. So they started closing market by 6 p.m., I think. And I think that's how all markets operate these days. By 6 p.m., they start ringing bell. There's no rest in the market. When we are done, you close shop and you go home. What is home to you? It's just a quiet reminder of the purpose of life and living. As much as we engage on the earth, a lot of things. I'm involved in a lot of things myself. In fact, I'm always looking to put my hand into more things. Fine, I'll find rest. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus must never be second option. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. I've explained that scripture to you before. He was talking about worry. He says, don't take note of what you wear tomorrow or what you eat tomorrow. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God. That is, whether you worry about clothes and you worry about the future, whether you worry about it or not, you will still worry. Whether you decide that I will worry about clothes, I will worry about school fees, the need will arise. So you're saying, why not seek the kingdom of God and let every other worry? They will align in place. Don't be careful for nothing. It's a quiet reminder that life is for living for Jesus. We're in a generation where that can easily get lost. Where we can easily forget that. Where we can easily, you know, just drift away. No, we are building a lot of things. Building a career. Building a life. Building a family. And these things can be quite tasking. But put Jesus on the top. Else, everything comes to a monument of nothingness. There is nothing as painful to a man as running fervently a million miles in the wrong direction. There is nothing as painful as a ruined harvest. When you think this is the harvest, and it says, this is nothing. Imagine a man who thinks he has been gathering gold, and he gets to where he's meant to trade it off, and he said, "You bring in coal. No one needs your coal." He said, "No, it's gold." He said, "Nah. Gold is not black." Don't build nothing. Build for Jesus. Stop struggling with the noise of the marketplace and hear his voice. One day, the market will close. And we'll be faced with a judge of one man. An audience of one. All those who clapped you will be gone. All those who said, "You know what? It's not about this Jesus thing." They will also be left to face theirs. Every man for himself. The scripture records. There will be no mother to say, "It's my child." The mother will not know the child. The child will not know the mother. Every soul will stand at the throne of mercy, expecting mercy. Life is a journey in faith, a journey of faith too. And he has called us by name to live for him. Of course, while we are at our other engagements, other things that we're busy with, today, if you hear his voice, just say, "You know, Jesus, you can have it. My time, my energy, my resources, it all belongs to you. I want to live a life with you at the center." I asked someone some years ago, I said, "How many hours really do you spend in church?" So now you look at it and say, "Oh, every time church, midweek service, how many hours do you really spend? How many hours do we really spend?" And we claim, "Oh, we are too busy for Jesus." How many really? There's nothing in the world. Some people have been here 200 years ago. They're no more. Some people have been here 500 years ago. They had everything. They had everything according to them. There was the richest man in the world 500 years ago when there was no Bill Gates, when there was no Rockefeller, when there was no Rothschild, when there was no Musk. They had the richest man in the world. They had the most beautiful lady. They had Miss World. But who was Miss World 400 years ago? Nobody knows. She's somewhere living with the consequences. Albeit, well, the rewards of whatever choices were made. Jesus is the cup that does not run dry. Can you pray for yourself this morning? Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Lover of my heart and of my soul, in my weakness you're merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, holder of my future days to come, your presence is heaven. Help me, Jesus. Recalibrate it. Recalibrate it. My focus. My priorities. Take me to that place where you reign supreme. Take me to that place where your peace floods my heart. Where you are all I want. Where you are my desire. Take me to that place.
in your vineyard, in your service. Help my worldview and perspective of these things, so I don't build a monument of nothing. So I don't run in the wrong direction. Except the Lord built the house. The labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord watches the city. Those who watch, they stay awake in vain. Help me to hold your plan as priority. To find purpose in your plan. To shun the noise of the market and hear your voice. To hear your voice. To hear it in the morning. To hear your voice. To hear it at noon. To hear your voice in the darkest part of the night. To always seek your face. Pray for yourself. If it requires you to pray it in English, pray it in English. Jesus, help me to see you and to see you alone. I just set aside the cares of this world. But faith, pray for me. All in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world. Fall in love with you. I just set aside the cares of this world. I fall in love with you again. I just throw away the troubles of this world. Fall in love with you. Jesus, I just set aside the cares of this world. I fall in love with you again.
I'll just throw away the strong.
He says in the church in Ephesus, you have forgotten your first love. Take me back to that time, Jesus. Take me back to that first passion. Renewed passion. Renewed conviction to serve and follow after you. To chase after you. Fresh passion. Fresh passion, Lord Jesus. Fresh passion. Fresh desire to serve you. Fresh, fresh, fresh. Make my heart new again. Make my heart whole again. Plant your passion in my heart. Let your zeal consume me. Help me to fall in love with you again. Not to stand outside idle. Busy in my eyes, but idle in the real sense of things. Help me, Lord Jesus.
You are the air I breathe. Oh Lord, you are the air I breathe. Oh Lord, you are the air I breathe. Oh Lord, you are, you are the air I breathe. Oh Lord, you are the air I breathe.
To chase after you.
You are the air I breathe. Oh Lord, you are.
Help me to fall in love with you again, Lord Jesus.
You are the air.
No distractions. No secret thrown in my heart. No secret thrown in my heart. No idol. No idol in my heart. No idol in my heart. Nothing takes your place. Nothing takes your place.
You're my desire. Nothing else matters. You're my delight. To you, Lord, I sing. Alleluia. You mean more than this world to me. To me. To me. You mean more than this world.
Help me to find purpose in your plan. Show yourself to me every day. At every turn, at every corner. When I seem not to know what to do. When I seem not to see ahead of anything. Show me your glory. Show me your path. For now, me. I'll never miss it. I'll never grow tired of being in your vineyard. I'll always see it as a privilege and an honor to be anointed, to be called by your name. It always remain an honor. Use me, Lord. One minute more. Pray that sincere prayer this morning. In all my engagements and all my business, may you remain the King. I will not lose my direction, and I will not lose my wonder. I will not become a mere admirer of your grace. I'll not just be a consumer of your grace. I'll dispense it. I'll serve it. I'll never lose my wonder. The wonder I have with the name of Jesus and with His church. It's intact. Till my last breath in my lungs. And today I see you face to face. I'll not lose my wonder.
Till I see you face to face. Oh, your word. Love my life to you I'll give. Until I see you face to face. I'll be living for your cause. Till this earth one day I'll leave. Love my life to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Were you blessed? All right. So, sometimes it's good we remind ourselves of this from time to time. Amen. No one who is serving the Lord is idle. The world view and God's view could be different. Oh, it's different. In the world, the one who is a church Jesus girl is the idle one. You know another thing? But I say it this way. You know, I remember the time I was praying on campus. I was praying in tongues or singing in tongues. So I said, why are you just praying in tongues on the road? I was going to class. And I said, you sing your songs on the road, don't you? You sing your MAGA, don't be. I said, I will sing in the spirit. And I was singing on the stand. You can't quiet him. As long as I have breath and air in my lungs, the kingdom of God is a part of it. You must set out in life and say, I'm set on a course that I must follow. The name of Jesus is mine to bear. I'll take it everywhere I go. And I will ensure that more men know him, love him, and serve him. I'll not lose my wonder. And I always see it as an honor to be anointed. Amen.